Good morning. It is 9:05 a.m. We are here today, September 7th, 2021, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatdo, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPAPA 21-002, Trackme Guam LLC versus the Guam Power Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jarek Hernandez and Clarissa Roque. Will appellant Trackme please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Your Honor. For the record, I am Joshua Walsh. I'm here with Mr. Edwin Torres, who's to my right, and we're here with institutional representative Alan De Los Santos from Trackme Guam, who's all the way to my right at the table.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GPA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes. Good morning, Your Honor. Graham Both on behalf of Guam Power Authority. To my left is Beatrice Santiago, Assistant General Manager for Administration on behalf of Guam Power.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Thank you. Do you wish to have opening statements, either one of you? I'll allow it if you want.
Just a very brief one, Mr. Public Auditor, if I may, just to set the table here before we get into our first witness. Your Honor, this procurement is run by one of our most esteemed agencies of the government of Guam to do something very important. It's to track fuel usage and provide management solutions for the fleet of vehicles that GPA has. GPA uses fuel. We all know that every time that we have to see that surcharge added to our power bills. And while GPA is taking great steps to try to modernize its fleets and modernize the way it produces power and the source of energy for that power, the fact remains that the vehicles that move around on the island for GPA and its generators require fuel. So for several years now, in order to help GPA keep track of its fuel use and resultantly realize some cost-saving expenses by tracking those fuel use and tracking its drivers, GPA has been engaged with Trackme Guam LLC. GPA last year came to the end of its past term of service for its tracking services and put out a new procurement seeking tracking services again. The tracking services, again, same services they were using before, and the specifications that came out are the specifications to match the services they've had. Trackme Guam placed its bid, but was not the lowest price, ultimately was not the lowest price offerer. But the reason it's not the lowest price offerer, as you will see in this appeal today, Your Honor, is because GPA accepted a non-responsive bidder, IT&E, a non-responsive bidder, and said, well, that price is the lowest, therefore we make the award there. The problem with doing that is some of the significant specifications simply just cannot be complied with by IT&E. And I think most troubling, as you will see in this procurement appeal, is that once Trackme Guam alerted GPA about these deficiencies, GPA's procurement process here to solve those deficiencies was either one, simply look at the non-responsive offer and say, hey, are you responsive? And then have the non-responsive offer confirm to GPA, yes, we are responsive. And not to substantively engage in any of these sort of specification requirements. And I think most troublingly of all, for four of these actual requirements, there's nothing in the procurement record that even shows that GPA investigated this, this question of non-responsiveness from IT&E. So we think ultimately, Your Honor, GPA has got one of these apples to oranges procurements where you have specifications that are not being followed by one offeror, and GPA simply selects the lowest price on the page. If Trackme Guam could have submitted a bid that didn't have to follow the specifications the way IT&E did not follow the specifications, their price would be lower too. That's why the taxpayers of Guam would be prejudiced if this procurement went forward, and that's why we're appealing today, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Botham.
Thank you, Your Honor. We did put out a bid for this, and Trackme Guam was the incumbent. And it seems there's a trend that usually when the incumbent doesn't win, they file a protest. So that's why we're here today. Simply, some of the stuff, Your Honor, that Trackme has brought up, GPA is admittedly not an expert on any of these things, But if the literature says that the bidder can do it, we accept them on the face of that. I don't think there's any requirement in the procurement code that GPA has to independently investigate whether, as alleged in one of their protests, that the only way they can do this particular process is through a Russian hardware tied in with a Russian software. We're simply not experts on that, nor do I think there's any requirement that we should be so. As to surcharges added to the power bills, that's for an entirely different matter. That's for the act, and that has to do with the fuel that goes to power the plants. What we're interested in is a tracking solution here, and certainly as to tracking the fuel use, the submissions from both IPNE and Track Me Guam indicate that they can provide the services that require for the fuel tracking, and so therefore we have accepted in this case, as Mr. Walsh correctly noticed, the lowest responsive bidder from our perspective. And based on the literature and other things provided by IT&E, determined that they did in fact meet those requirements, and we believe we've done everything we need to determine if that is the case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. So your first witness would be your...
Yes, Your Honor.
So, Ms. Onkanko, if you can go with Ms. Selena. Do they just kind of wait here?
Judge, you can have them wait downstairs?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting bigger. Your first one, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just as a practical matter, Your Honor, we did drop off a binder with our exhibits, but I want to make sure if you have it. If not, I have an extra copy.
We have, so the witness has
the
one, and then
version.
He has the electronic version.
Okay, yeah. So if Your Honor is good just following along with the electronic version, then I will save this binder for our witness. Our first witness, Your Honor, is Mr. Alan De Los Santos from Chacmi, Guam. Mr. De Los Santos, you can take the stand there.
Nervous. This is my first time.
It's okay, Mr.
Please raise your right hand. Please state your name.
I am Alan Alexandros.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Delos. Your Honor, may I give this exhibit binder to the witness to follow along? Thank you, Judge. This one's tabbed. Mr. De Los Santos, good morning. Just for the record, I'm going to say my name is Joshua Walsh, and I'm a lawyer helping you with this appeal. I know you say this is the first time you've testified. Is that true in anything?
Yes.
Okay.
This is my first time.
So, Mr. De Los Santos, there's no reason to be nervous. We're just talking about this procurement, okay? My first question, and I want you to please just say your name again, and give me, tell me where you're working now.
Okay, Your Honor, I'm Alan Del Santos. I'm currently working at Track Me Guam LLC. I'm the one currently managing the business.
Can you tell us a little bit about your educational background?
I graduated at Electronic Computer Technology. And recently, before I came here in Guam, I worked in mainland as a GIS, Geographic Information System, where we're focusing like in Google Map, but where our focus in power line and railroad, because you know, during around, if I'm not mistaken, 2006, there is a Typhoon Katrina, and the US government decided that all power line and railroad has to be checked every year, especially for vegetation. so that if there is another typhoon like that, there, it's not going to be very devastated to the country, because if the tree falls to the power line, that will cost a lot of money. So, and that's my job in Mainland.
So that's tracking power lines and damage to power lines? Is that simply how to say it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How long have you been working for Track Me on Guam?
I've been here 2015, and that's my first job here in Guam, in Track Me Guam. So since 2015, so it's been like 6 years already.
What kind of work does Track Me Guam do?
Okay, we provide fleet and fuel management solution. When we say fleet solution, of course, it's not only about the location of the vehicle, but also you want to know the driver behavior, if they're doing speeding, idling, and everything. We also provide fuel solution, like for the mobile tanker of GPA, so that at least you could track the fuel, how many fuel, refuel or dispense fuel per vehicle. We also have other solution that we provide, like home security, and mainly related to technology.
So can I hire you to tell me how fast my son is driving the car?
No. Actually, yes. Yes and no. As long as the registration is under your name, okay? Then you could come to us individual, and if you want to track your own vehicle, yes, we could help you. But if you want to track a different vehicle, not registered to your name, we will not help. Okay. It has to be under your name.
And you do work for the government of Guam?
Yes, for many years, yeah.
What sorts of work do you do for the government of Guam?
Like with GPA, we've been working with GPA, if I'm not mistaken, more than 5 years, around more or less 10 years. And we provide this kind of fleet management solution and fuel solution.
Do you work with any other government of Guam agencies?
Yes, even in Port Authority. We previously worked with Fire Department, Port Police, Guam Water, GSWA, so that they could see the location of the vehicle and if they pick up the trash. Those are the agencies.
Are you familiar with IT&E in the tracking space?
Actually, IT&E is our partner before, Your Honor.
What do you mean by that?
Actually, they bundle our solution to their client. But before, when they bundle our solution, the basic only, they didn't sell our product for any special, like driver ID, anything about fuel, just for location. So we partner with IT&E for many years already.
I'm going to ask you to open up the binder that I gave you up to what's tabbed at 8. And if you look at these binders, there are tab numbers. Eight, and then if you look at the bottom, there are numbers, we call them, I guess, in the legal world, bait stamp numbers, and there's like 8001. You see that?
Yes, sir.
So can you look at 8001234 and on, and then if you look at that, tell me if you had seen this before.
Yes, Your Honor. I have seen this document before.
Okay, so what is this, Mr. Douglas?
This is the recent bid of GPA. Asking for a fleet and fuel solution.
And if you look at 8004, what does that page show on?
This is the description or general information of all the requirements of GPA. This is all the requirements. This is what they need in their fleet and fuel solution.
So tell me about your process over at TrackMe. When you saw this, how do you work toward preparing a bid? What do you do?
What we did is, of course, we read it one by one. Actually, we have a couple of solutions for this. And as soon as we read one by one, we make sure that we will be able to comply 100% to this requirement. Not only about the pricing, but also to comply on all of the requirements.
Is that a long process to do that?
We've been working with GPA, like I said, for quite some time, more or less 10 years. So we are very familiar already with all of this. It seems like they just copy with the previous requirements. So we know what are the best solutions that we could provide to GPA when we saw this. But of course, we had to review one by one. It took us hours to review just to make sure that we see everything and we will be able to comply on all of the requirements of GPA.
Can you, can you look at what's marked in that book as tab number 10? Seen that before?
Yes.
Right. This is your appeal to the OPA?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you are appealing the denial of your protest sent to GPA?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, how many protests did you send to GPA?
Actually, there are two protests.
Okay.
First one, actually, we sent just a letter to indicate to let the GPA know that we found out.
Okay.
That ITME is not compliant.
Can you open your book to tab number 6?
Tab number 6.
So 10 was the notice of appeal. 6, this is this March 12, 2001, first protest letter. Would you agree with me that's your first protest letter?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so now I want to make sure you have an opportunity to explain this first protest letter, okay? As simply as you can, why did you submit this protest letter, and what provision are you protesting?
Okay, after we found out that our competitor is anti-NE, okay, we do some research. What are the solutions that they're providing? And we found out that they partner with DCS, which is in Finland. And DCS, using Bialon software, that's the software that they're using. It's just so happened that Bialon software is the software that we're selling in Philippines, because we also have company in Philippines.
When you say we, who is we?
TrackMe gone, but the company in Philippines is Universal Innovative Technology. So since Philippines, we cannot sell like high-end software, we're selling this Bialon software in Philippines. So we are well-versed with this software
okay.
that ITNE are...
So what's the problem with ITNE providing that software to GPA?
Actually, we know already that Bialon cannot meet the requirements of GPA. That's why we didn't use this, though it's cheaper. And then we communicate with them again just to make sure that they are updated, that we are updated if they could provide or not with this Bialon software. And it so happened that they told me we cannot comply with the requirements of GPA, unless you provide different software, you have to create your own software, or you use Russian hardware. Because as of this moment, according to them, the only hardware that working with them is a Russian hardware. However, this is in Crimea, and the manual is in Russian language. So they said that they don't think that
so
we could use that.
Who were you communicating with?
The technical support of Bialon, Gautam.
Did you tell GPA about that?
Yes, I emailed them right away.
Can you look at what's been base stamped as 6003?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me what this communication is.
Oh, so what happened is, according to Gautam, the one providing by GPA, they said that they could do date and fuel dispense time. They could do amount of fuel, but it's not available to provide vehicle equipment and to find out who is the person that dispensed the fuel. This is what Gautam told us. And the only option, because they provide two options, is to develop another software on top of Bialon. And according to them, the only option for that, even the hardware, because I asked about the hardware, is to use Russian. And Bialon know their client. And the only client that they know, not the DCS, not ITNE, but only this Russian company.
Can you go back to what you marked, what's tab 10, the notice of appeal? And if you can go to what is tab 10, 017. 10017. Are you there?
10007.
017.
Okay. I'm on 10007.
017.
Oh, 1. 10.
10-017.
17.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. I found it.
Okay. So, when you submitted your first protest, you have a Sunshine Act request, right?
Yes, we request for Sunshine
Act. And when you got the information, you reviewed it from the Sunshine Act request?
Yes.
And what did you, reviewed the IT&E bid submission?
Now as soon as we received that Sunshine request, the information submitted by IT&E, we found out every detail that IT&E submitted to GPA. Okay.
And
we review everything.
Okay. And you provided this supplement at 10017 to GPA, is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, because now it's not only with B alone, but with the ITN information, we found that there are 4 more information that ITN cannot comply.
Okay. Now, what I want you to do is go to tab 11 in this binder. And I know that you had prepared a PowerPoint presentation. On that. Is it, are you able to get that? Okay.
Yes, yes.
Now, I want you to look at what's marked at 11-002. And so what am I looking at 11-002?
This is the 4 requirements that GPA is asking.
Okay.
So that we found out that this that ITN cannot comply with this.
So these are different than the Russian software solution
yes,
impossibility issue.
Yes.
So, Mr. De Los Santos, I know this is the first time you've done this. I think it's important, just so we can help our record people, that you don't answer until I finish asking, okay?
Okay.
Just because we'll talk over each other, and then it'll be hard for somebody to type this up later. We're good? Yes?
Yes, Your
okay.
Honor.
Okay. So, where did you get these GPA requirements from that are on 11-002?
I got this from the GPA requirements
okay.
in their bid.
And they are B6, C113, C117, and C2, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's flip over to 11-003. Explain to me what requirement B6 is asking for from GPA.
So, GPA asking that the estimated installation removals and or replacement of a single device shall be 1 hour starting upon scheduled time of installation and or replacement.
Okay. If you go to 11-004, you're familiar with a 1 hour requirement, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And how are you familiar with that?
We've been doing this for many years with a GPA, and we know that we could meet these requirements because usually every time that they submit to us a vehicle, we ask at least 30 minutes to 45 minutes to finish the installation. So we are familiar that we could do the installation in less than an hour.
How do you know that IT&E cannot do it in 1 hour based on what you saw from the bid submission?
So because of the Sunshine request, we found out that IT&E will use a flow meter, which is the DFM500DN fuel sensor, as part of their solution identified in GPA.
And is that what you've got on 11-005?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
And 11-005, you took that from the IT&E bid, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the DFM500D can, how do you find out how long it takes to install it?
So we are familiar with this flow meter, and we know it's very hard to install this kind of hardware. So we do some research, and we found out in one of the provider also of GPS solution who's using this specific fuel meter. According to them, it will take, if you're looking on the tab 11-006, there is an FM portion. FM is the flow meter, which is the DFM 500 can, not the FLS, because FLS is flow fuel level sensor. So we're talking about the third column, which is the FM. It says here, because they are very familiar with this, installation time from 4 hours to several days. It will take days to finish this installation.
And again, you found this out because you noticed the DFM 500D CAN was being offered by ITME. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the reason you know the 500D CAN is hard to install is based on your experience?
Yes. Actually, we tried. We want to use this, but we know it's very hard to install.
If you could have used something like that and it was cheaper, would you have done it?
If that's the requirements of GPA, of course, we will do it.
But GPA required 1 hour install, is that right?
Yeah, but after 1 hour, yeah.
Okay, can you look at 11-009? This requirement, C113, what is this a requirement for?
So the software will be able to provide a customizable report and be saved and or exported to MS Excel, MS Word, CSV, and Adobe file format.
So I know what Excel and Word are. Do you know what is CSV?
CSV is a comma separated value, a file format, which is every record is separated by a comma.
Now, why would GPA want these tracking devices to export into these various formats?
I'm not 100% sure why they want all of this, but for our experience with other clients, and even us, that's why we're explaining this to our client. If you want to manipulate the information, you could use Excel. Okay, because it's in spreadsheet.
You mean like make reports
like make
and stuff?
Make reports and yeah. Something, make some adjustment. And then if you want to use this as additional program or to export to another program, CSV is the best format. Now, if you're typing a letter, okay, typing a letter or everything, it's good to export the information as an MS Word. That's why I believe they need all of this information.
Now, can your solution provide all of this?
Yes.
Is that what I'm seeing on 11-010?
I don't have the...
Oh.
This is the last page. So on 11-010?
Yep.
We could export information to CSV, Excel, XLS, and XLSX.
Can ITME do that?
With the CSV and Excel, yes.
Can you go to 11-012?
Yes.
What is ITME software incapable of providing?
So, another requirements of GPA, they want to save or export information in MS Word and PDF. And in this 11-011, it shows that we could save and export the report in MS Word and even PDF format. And we could do that.
Okay, but what about ITME?
With ITME, if you will go to 11-012, it shows here that they're using VLON. That's why I underlined the VLON.
And how do you know the VLON software?
Because we're using this in Philippines.
Okay.
And we have access on this software.
Okay.
And if you will look on 11-012, MS Word is not here.
Is the VLON software cheaper?
Cheaper.
So if you could have bid VLON software without the Microsoft Word, your bid would have been cheaper. Isn't that right?
Of course.
But why did you not bid VLON software?
Because this is not the requirements of GPA.
All right. Can we go to page 11-014? You have that?
Yes.
C117. Can you tell me what that requirement from GPA was seeking?
C117. So this is one of the important requirements of DPA, we believe, to provide fuel dispense tracking report for authority service truck official 6463. That on this information, the data to include date and time of fuel dispense, that's the first one. Second is amount of fuel dispense in gallon, that's the second. Vehicle and or equipment fuel, that's the third one. And the last one is the personnel who dispense the fuel.
Okay, so one step at a time here. Why is this kind of tracking important for the agency?
This is very important.
Because, why?
Because like me, I'm a taxpayer. I want that my pay, the money that I pay to tax will be used correctly, and GPA using fuel. So we want that the fuel, when they dispense, it's been dispensed to the correct equipment and or vehicle, and the person who dispensed the fuel is an authorized
okay.
person.
Now, the fuel we're talking about here, what is this authority service truck? What is that truck?
It's a mobile tanker.
What does it do?
If you will look on 11-017, this is the mobile tanker of GPA. Okay, this is the mobile tanker. But what does it do is, if there is a fuel needed, like for instance, there is a generator on the south that they need to be refueled, so the mobile tanker will go there. And then they dispense fuel. But of course, you want to make sure that this is GPA equipment or vehicle. You don't want to dispense this to an authorized vehicle or equipment.
So and this tracking solution, the tracking solution helps prevent that?
Yes.
How?
Because you cannot dispense the fuel if the vehicle is not authorized and the personnel who dispense the fuel is not authorized. You cannot click. So you have to put your password or your ID, and you also need to put the vehicle ID, so both.
So in reviewing the IT&E bid submission, how did you determine that they are incapable of meeting requirement C-117?
So,
what's wrong with IT&E's solution?
So if we will go to 11-019, okay, they said here, that this is the response. They will use driver ID only to accomplish both number three, which is the vehicle and or equipment fuel, and personnel who dispense the fuel. They will only use driver ID. Unlike Traffic One, we have a separated from driver ID to vehicle and or equipment ID and personnel ID.
But why wouldn't that work in terms of tracking?
Because according to them, this is, they give an extra step on their explanation. The extra step is, this is what they said. The driver will then drive their vehicle within the vicinity of the fuel dispenser. This is the step that they added. That the driver has to drive to the mobile tanker. But the thing is, mobile tanker is the one supposedly the one should go to the equipment or vehicle that being fueled. And another thing, if we will look on 11-022, this is what they said. They added another requirements in 11-022. The vehicle field will have a GPS tracker. So they added this. So even though like generator or probably forklift need fuel, they will require GPA to have a GPS. Unlike us, if it's generator that need to be fueled, you don't need to put GPS on that.
So this solution adds this extra layer of having to add GPS trackers in order to
work? So many steps that they added. So many, in order to somewhat provide their excuse that they could comply.
Do these extra steps have a layer of extra expense?
Actually, no, but the problem is it will cause so much mistakes on the report, and it will not provide the requirements of GPA.
Right, and GBA's requirements were the ones in C-117.
Yes, Your Honor, and this is very important.
I want you to go to 11-033. Requirement C2.
Yes.
What is requirement C2?
That the software or solution should provide a web-based vehicle interaction, enabling technical assistance, personnel and or authorized GPA personnel to remote disable vehicle, unlock vehicle door, and provide software updates. This is the requirements asked by GPA.
And track me, you could do that.
Yes.
And your review of the ITD bid submission convinced you that ITD cannot do that based on what I submitted, right?
Yes.
So why, though? How do you know that?
If we will look on 11-035, they said that doing a door lock unlock feature that is controllable through the electronic control unit will only be possible with the manufacturing programming guide for the lock unlock feature for the specific vehicle models provided to ITD. They added another step that GPA must provide access to this ECU and provide manufacturing manual, which is, we never asked. We provide the solution for many years to GPA, but we never asked for ECU access. And actually the problem with this is if you mess up with the computer box, this is the computer box of the vehicle, you could destroy the vehicle. So the problem also with this one, if they found out that this ECU cannot do the door unlock and disable vehicle, they have no excuse. Oh, sorry, we cannot provide this solution because it is not open to the ECU. But traffic one, we don't need this ECU.
I understand you don't need it. I want to be clear, though, with the public auditor. Did GPA ever specify ECU access in this procurement?
No, Your Honor.
Does the fact that IT&E needs ECU access mean that they, does it impact the service they can provide?
Yes.
How
yes.
So?
Because they will not be able to do everything. If GPA wants door unlocked, then probably only one or two vehicles will be able to do it, because usually car manufacturer didn't open this kind of solution because for security purposes. Okay, so for security purposes also, so you cannot really mess up with computer box. But there is a possibility using Canvas. But the thing is, this is not specified. And if it's okay also,
sure.
We will go to the bid submitted by ITNE.
That's tab 8.
Okay.
So let's look at tab 8. You're going to show us, what are you going to show us in tab 8?
The part, there is some explanation of ITNE. And where is it?
I'm sorry, it's 7.
In 7-017, on C2, 7-017, requirement C2, ITD says, comply. Vehicle must be able to support the application to deliver the requirements. Example, older vehicle models may not be able to support for fleet tracking applications.
Are you familiar with GPA's fleet?
Yes.
They have
many old.
Mr. Dawson, again for our record, does GPA have old vehicles?
Yes.
So is this solution unable to work on old vehicles?
We're able to provide this even to the old vehicle.
You are?
Yes.
What about ITD?
They said if it's old vehicle, may not be able to support.
And this is ITD's submission?
Yes.
Why is it important to have remote access for these vehicles?
Oh, like for instance, to unlock the door. So if you drive all the way to Umatac and you forgot the key inside the vehicle, so either you call for help to company to unlock the door, which is cost money. Or probably someone will get extra key to the office and bring that key all the way to Yumata, which is extra cost again and fuel and time to the authorities. But if you have this kind of solution to unlock the door online, even you're in the office and they call you, sir, our door was locked, I forgot the key inside. Okay, let me help you. Click, open the door, and then the door will be unlocked. It saved money. That's why this is important for us.
Can you look at Exhibit 10-021? It's the 1.5-page denial of your procurement protest. But I want to make sure that you're looking at the same thing. Have you seen this before?
Yes, Your Honor.
Does this denial explain anything to you about any of the grounds you raised for your protest?
No, it didn't explain anything.
Does it explain anything about the Russian hardware solution?
No.
And what about and the supplement stuff?
And the supplement.
Have you had an opportunity to review the procurement record binders that were provided to us by GPA?
Yes, Your Honor.
Sorry, that's Your Honor, I'm just Josh, but
he is responding to me.
Yes, thank you. Is anything in that procurement binder address any of the issues that you raised in your supplement?
So in the supplement, they didn't answer B6. They didn't answer
I will go here. I'm talking about GPA's response.
Okay, so if we will go to B6, this one, they didn't have any answer. If we will go to C-113, they don't have any answer. I reviewed the whole binder, but it's 1,000 pages. C-2, they don't have any answer. C-17, C-1-17, they only have the excuse.
And the answer from C-117 comes from who?
Actually, when I reviewed, it came from BCS. From BCS. So what happened, GPA raised our protest to ITNE. ITNE communicated to BCS, which is their provider. And the provider of BCS is BLN. So what happened, BCS answered back. And then ITNE sent that via email to GPA, the answer. And then GPA said, okay, I accept.
And the GPA acceptance of the DCS answer comes after bid submission. Yes?
Yes.
I know you were the incumbent on this procurement, and I know that your procurement protest got filed. Did you see a stay of procurement get issued in your case? It's a procurement stay?
Yes, we saw a procurement stay.
Okay. Now, are you currently providing tracking services to GPA?
Somewhat, because they recently canceled our contract.
GPA canceled your contract. When did they do that?
Actually, we contact Josh and Walsh help to file for OPA, to file in OPA. And then as soon as we submitted the appeal to OPA, if I'm not mistaken, after one day, one of employee of GPA called me Friday, almost 4 p.m., something like that. They said that we will cancel, they called me, that they want to cancel our contract because we filed in OPA.
So even with the stay of procurement, your contract was canceled because you brought an appeal to the OPA?
They want to cancel, that's what they said. They want to cancel.
Who told you that?
Mr. Jimmy Pangalinan.
And did you get email from the agency after that explaining that reason?
Yeah, because as soon as they called, I got confused. Why they canceling the contract? They need a fit and fuel management solution. But they said that, and they wanted to do it immediately, like they want it now. And I got surprised, I got confused. I said, wait a bit. Let me think about it. Let me talk to our management. So after that, I didn't say any answer if we could cancel or not. And then the following week, because there is a holiday Monday, if I'm not mistaken, then Tuesday, I received an email, a formal letter that they want
GPA is working with IT&E now?
I'm not sure.
Okay. But you know that they're canceled your contract and are pulling tracking devices out of your vehicles, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What do you want as the result from this procurement protest and appeal?
Of course, we want that the prospective bidder will be awarded to those that could comply to the requirements of GPA or partner.
And are you complying?
100%.
Now, let's suppose for a moment, though, that all of these specifications that are here, GPA actually didn't mean for these specifications. So maybe they didn't need Microsoft Word, they didn't need the Word, you know, or they didn't actually want complete remote access other than through the computer. If it's like that, what do you want in that scenario?
Then if they will change the building, most likely we will use a cheaper software.
Right. If you don't have to meet these requirements, your bid price would be lower. Is that correct?
Yes, it's like why we provide Ferrari if they only want Hyundai vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's cheaper.
Right, right. If GPA doesn't want the Ferrari, you'll provide a Hyundai.
Oh, or probably.
Though I've seen Hyundais recently. They look pretty expensive themselves. I don't know if that helps anyone. Okay, Mr. De Los Santos. I don't have any questions for you now. The public auditor might have some questions, and GPA might have some questions. But thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Botha, Mr. Public Auditor.
Thank you.
No. Stay there. Mr. Botha.
Okay, thank you. Mr. De Los Santos, you said that TrackMe has had GPA for the last 10 years, is that correct?
More or less, because I started working with GPA 2015, and GPA is already existed. And I saw some of the email from GPA since around 2012, so more or less 10 years. But for sure, it's more than 5 years.
But you've only been handling this since, I guess, 2015 or so when you came to Guam?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So has the existing contract expired?
Expired.
It has expired. To your knowledge. Okay. All right. So you were talking about IT&E as a bundled solution. Is it accurate that what's currently in GPA, you use IT&E SIM card?
No. No,
so for the items that have been removed from the GPA vehicles, GPA owns the hardware part of that, and
yes.
You removed the SIM card?
Yes.
Okay, that's not with IT&E?
Yes, it's a GPA SIM card.
Okay, so you were a partner before for bundle for that, but not anymore?
With IT&E. We bundled before, but not with GPA project, okay? What happened is IT&E become our reseller. So they sell to other company, like probably, if I'm not mistaken, Smithridge. Okay, they got the contract, but they're using our system, but not with GPA. So with GPA, it's just TrackMe. We are not partner with IT&E with GPA project.
Okay. When you contacted, did you ever contact DCS? I believe you testified that you contacted the software company, is that correct? Wylon?
Yes.
Okay. So you never contacted DCS, the company in the U.S., is that accurate?
I think they would talk to me.
Okay, but you didn't contact them, is that correct? And that is in the IT&E package that they're actually using DCS.
Yes, and DCS is partnered with VLON.
Okay, but you only went to VLON because, as you said, you couldn't contact.
No, we only contact VLON because we know for the fact that DCS is using VLON software. So just to let you know, Your Honor, DCS is like TrackMe One. DCS using VLON software, and they're selling it as a reseller. TrackMe is same thing. We have a partnership with Bialon, and we're selling also Bialon software. So what happened before, ITNE worked with us. They moved to DCS. That's what happened. So they don't go directly to the software provider, which is the Bialon.
Okay, so TrackMe actually uses Bialon software as well, is that correct?
We use it majority in Philippines and only few vehicles here in Guam.
Okay, so what software do you use in Guam?
From Israel. It's a World Fleet Lab, that's the software, from eDrive Technology.
Okay, and then what fuel meter do you use here in Guam? Flow meter, what do you use to track the fuel?
We use also from EDT, we call it fuel lamp for fuel.
Okay.
To track the dispensing of the fuel, not for consumption. Consumption is different for fuel dispense. So if it's fuel consumption only, the tracking device that we install to the vehicle is enough. But if you want to track the fuel dispense, like fuel depot, like Port Authority, they have their own fuel depot, or GPA, they have a mobile tanker, then we don't use that only the tracking device. We use fuel lamp.
Okay, so are you aware that most of the GPA fleet is fueled at one of the different gas stations around the island?
I'm sorry?
Are you aware that most of the GPA fleet is fueled at the gas stations around the island on a fleet?
Yes.
Fleet car?
Yes.
So the fuel tanker would have nothing to do with that if it's not used, right, as far as fuel dispensing?
Because that mobile tanker, according to GPA, this is what I know. Okay, this is what I know. They use this mobile tanker for emergency purposes, especially if there's a typhoon, and they need to deliver fuel to the vehicle, especially if the depot is down, at least they could still provide fuel to the equipment, like generator or vehicle.
Okay, now you said generator. Now, even on your solution, there's no solution for a generator, say if it's one of the water wells down south. Is that correct?
What is it?
There's no solution for a generator. I mean, a generator is not part of our fleet, is it?
No, when they said to provide fuel dispense, it could be vehicle or equipment. So that's what in C-170, they need to track vehicle and or equipment. Not only vehicle, it could be also equipment.
Okay,
and when you say equipment, it could be forklift, it could be other equipment like generator.
Okay, but a generator wouldn't have any of your tracking equipment on it.
We don't need to install GPS on the generator, but we could track the fuel dispense to the generator if needed.
And that would come off of the fuel tanker has a fuel tracking on it anyways, right? I mean, it tells you how many gallons have been used.
Yeah,
right?
the dispensing part.
Okay. When you talk about your reports, I think you said that the one that IT&E didn't look like they could do from what you saw on the software was Microsoft Word, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, now is it possible to convert Excel or Adobe to Microsoft Word?
If you buy Adobe Professional, which is extra cost to GPA, and if every computer need Word, then they need to buy Adobe Professional so that they could convert. And the requirement is from software to export to MS Word. It's extra step that if you download to PDF, and now you need extra software, and then you could convert.
Okay, so for Excel, you could do that in Microsoft Office. Is that accurate?
Not really, because it will be look jargon, and there will be a lot of boxes. If you copy the Excel, going to Word, it's not going to be the same as you export the report from software to MS Word. It's not the same.
If you turn to 11-019. Okay, you said that it was an extra step for ITNE to have the vehicles close together. I mean, if the emergency tanker is going to refuel, let's say, another GBA vehicle, I mean, they have to be close together. Isn't that correct?
They need to drive a mobile tanker from your location to a location where they need to refuel. The mobile tanker is the one. But with ITNE, the driver is the one that should go closer. Of course, they have to be closer, but it's different. Mobile tanker has to, the one should drive all the way to the location. Unlike with ITNE, in order to create the event, which is to do that, they need to use geopets. So what happened, the driver has to drive to the mobile tanker. This is different. So if you need to put fuel to like 10 vehicles, all the 10 vehicles must go to mobile tanker. It has to be stationary. But a mobile tanker is not stationary. It's problem. Actually, if you look on 11-017, this is the mobile tanker. They bring their mobile tanker to Tacloban location. They drove it to our location. So if they need to fuel on this location, of course it has to be close. So it's adding extra step.
Okay, you're aware that, that GBA has some vehicles that are quite old, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, remote unlock isn't going to work unless they have power locks, is that correct?
We have a technique that we use in order to make the vehicle, even old vehicle, to do the unlock.
And how is that? Unless you're putting in something extra without power locks, it doesn't work.
Yeah, if it's okay, hopefully it will not be reached to ITNE. We use actuator.
Yeah, I mean, you have to put in a separate actuator for the door locks, is that correct?
Yes.
And you've done that for GPA vehicles?
We have some. So it's possible, without even messing up with the computer box.
It's possible, but you haven't done it.
We've done it. We are the current provider to GPA, and we're doing that.
Just a minimal redirect, Your Honor, if I may. There was a question earlier about TrackMe using Violon software solution. I just want to make clear, you use Violon, but not for the GPA project, is that right?
Yes.
Your bid price is based on the more expensive software, not the Violon.
Yes.
Okay. There's a question about the flow meter. Does your flow meter install within the hour specified by GPA?
We don't use flow meter.
Okay.
We use fuel lamp.
You use a what?
Fuel lamp.
So it's not an issue for you?
It's not an issue. Because actually, if you use this BFM 500B, even according to manufacturer, you cannot use that for the fuel dispense. And yes. Hopefully I can show you.
In the PowerPoint?
In the PowerPoint.
The DFM. In
11-028.
Yep.
because ITME and DCS would like to use this JV Technodon. Okay? And according to Technodon export manager, the name is Nikolai. I don't know how to say the last name. Okay? You need to use one chamber. And DFM 500D is two chamber. It's just showing that ITNE doesn't have any experience even on this because they're using wrong hardware.
And that's not an issue for you, right?
Yes, because okay. We don't use this DFM
500. There was a question earlier from Mr. Botha about how GPH trucks get fueled at the gas stations. You remember that question?
Yes.
GPA wants a mobile tanker. They specified that, not you, right?
Yes.
Right, so the reason that you're responding to a mobile tanker specification is because GPA issued one, isn't that right?
Yes, because that's the requirement.
Now, there was a question earlier about converting to Microsoft Word. You know, you just convert the software. Did the specification ask for software that can convert to Microsoft Word or actually exports into Microsoft Word?
Export. Or save, yeah.
And does software that exports into Microsoft Word carry an expense associated with that?
Yes, if you get like one of the converter is PDF Professional, it's kind of expensive. So from PDF, you could convert it to MS Word.
But your software that can export into Microsoft Word, you had to factor that into your price on your bid, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, because it's direct. From software, you could download or export the information to MS Word.
There was a question earlier about how, you know, the GPA truck, when it dispenses fuel into another truck or a generator, there's a number that comes out. Why is that not enough to meet the tracking solution requirement from GPA? What does GPA want to know?
They want to know the date and time, the person who fueled and vehicle. So, just in case, let's try to at least make somewhat, okay, mobile tanker is stationary, it's not moving. What if there are two vehicles arrive on the location at the same time, and only one was fueled? How will the system will know which is which? Because they want proximity. So if there are three or four vehicles arrive, go to that location, proximity to the mobile tanker at the same time, and only one or two been fueled, and the other two vehicle wasn't fueled, how will the system know which is the vehicle?
So there was a question earlier about how these vehicles would just come close together. That's the solution. And then you mentioned how, well, no, your GPA is missing the part where ITNE says there's got to be a geofence.
Yes, geofence.
So explain what the geofencing is. Why is that an extra step?
Geofence is an imaginary line that you could draw on the map that every time that they go in, inside the fence, imaginary line, there will be an event that you could record. And if they left that geofence, it will be recorded also. So you will know what time they come inside, how long they stay, and what time they left.
That fence needs to be created, is that right?
It has to be created and it's not, it has to be fixed.
Right.
It's not going around together with the mobile tanker.
Okay. The question earlier about GPA wanting to know if you can unlock doors. Did the specification say unlock doors for new cars or did it say unlock all vehicle doors?
They said that's what they want, to unlock the doors.
So,
new or old.
Did your pricing have to factor in the old doors?
No.
Well, are you able to unlock old doors?
Yes.
So it's built into your price?
Yes, it's built in.
Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor. Nothing further from us.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I have no questions.
I don't have any further questions, Your Honor.
Nothing further?
Thank you, Mr. De Los Santos. You can come on over and bring the binder that we needed. Thank you.
Your next witness?
So, Your Honor, if we're okay with the agreement, we'll just we'll stop with our presentation and then do joint duty with the GPA witnesses, if that's okay. Are you okay to start with my ground?
Either way, I I mean, you have them on your list, too.
I mean, yeah, I was just assuming, Your Honor, that Mr. Walsh would call whatever witnesses he needs.
Okay, call.
And then, so instead of excusing them, we'll complete the witness for both parties at one time. So,
so can we call Ms. Kanko to the stand?
Melissa Jane Krasenko. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay.
Mr. Public Auditor, Your Honor, if I proceed. Hi, ma'am. My name is Joshua Walsh. I'm one of the attorneys working with TrackMe on this procurement protest. If it's okay, Your Honor, may I bring this binder back up? It might be easier. So we've taken some things from the record and put it here to make it easier to follow along. So I'm going to ask you, please, to look at, and there are like bait stamp numbers there on the document. If you could go to bait stamp number 8. So if you look at the bottom, there'll be like 8-001, 002, 003.
Okay.
Okay. So can you go to bait stamp 8-001? I think we tapped it, so we might be able to. Okay. Had you seen this before?
This is our ID package.
Okay. What's your role in GPA with procurement?
I am the assigned buyer for this invitation permit.
Okay. And the idea at GPA to come up with this tracking invitation for bid, where did that come from?
That is the end user, our requesting department, which is our transportation division.
Okay. So the transportation division asked you as the buyer to go buy this?
This is a contract, and the contract was due to expire, so it was about time to put a new bid out.
Okay. Do you know where the specifications that started 8004 onward came from?
The specifications are from our transportation division.
Is there somebody in particular at the transportation division that you know came up with these specifications?
If you look on page 1360 or 1464, the specifications is generated by Pedro Sanchez and concurred by Jimmy Pingalina and approved by Miranda.
Okay. I don't want to waste your time, so it might be better for me to talk to them, but I just a few more questions.
Okay.
For like procurement protest, do you have a role in reviewing the protest or providing responses to the protest?
The protest, our role is we will consult with our staff attorney and we go through the, as a formality, we will put a stay of procurement until all issues have been resolved and a determination has been made.
Can you look in this binder at the binder I gave you?
Okay.
At what's tab number 5. 5001. Thank you. So you see your name CC'd on this email, 5001. So it looks like the internal email.
Yes.
Are you, I don't know how to ask this, are you substantively involved in these emails, or are you just sort of being CC'd as a courtesy?
I am being CC'd because I am the assigned buyer for this bid.
Okay. Do you know what research effort, if any, GPA undertook after receiving the messaging from CHACME that IT&E was not responsive? Did you have any role in following up on that responsiveness?
I can't comment on that. I'm not a part of the committee evaluation.
Okay.
I'm not a member.
Better for the committee for me to talk to you about that.
Yes.
What about the ultimate denial of the protest? Did you have a role in that decision making?
No.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate your answers and thank you being here today. Mr. Bova, I think I'm good. Your witness, sir.
Okay. Mr. Mikanko, as the assigned buyer, what is your role in handling the procurement?
I am the assigned buyer. I work with the end user. In this case, it's our transportation department. On the bid specifications, we formulate an RFP, advertise it, facilitate any meetings, committee evaluations, send out clarification letters. If they're deemed necessary by the committee's findings, prepare the bid analysis based on the committee's recommendation of their evaluation.
Okay, now I notice on most of these, the emails go to Jamie Pangolinan. Who is that?
Jamie Pangolinan is our supply management administrator. All emails must be sent to her. And it does state that also on our website.
Okay, and is that to ensure that all questions, anything else that bidders might have when they're doing that, go to one central point, and then you as the buyer would coordinate with committee and others to send the response to all bidders?
Yes.
And in this particular appeal, when you received the protest filed with the OPA, what action did you take as the buyer?
We immediately put a stay on this procurement and ceased any other communications with the evaluators and any party outside of GPM.
Okay, was that, where do you file the notice of stay? Where was that distributed to?
The notice of stay is filed to the Attorney General, filed to the GM, filed to the party that filed the protest.
And that goes to all, any of the other bidders as well?
Yes, right? Yes. The state procurement letter is sent to all the bidders.
Okay, and in this case, did you prepare the certification of completed procurement record?
Yes.
You did. Okay, and yes. And was that signed by the general manager?
Yes.
I don't have any further questions, Your Honor. Just
two brief ones, Judge. Can you look at that binder at 2-001? Yeah, if you sort of look at the bottom, our base stamp numbers we put on there. It's an email, ma'am. It says it's from Mr. Botha. To Tyron CCing you.
Okay.
You remember this email?
Yes.
Do you remember if the committee did any action in response to this email?
Yes, they did.
What did they do?
They reconvened and they reviewed it. They reviewed the IV specifications again, and along with the technical.
Can you look at 1-001? Have you seen this document before? This unsigned 1-001? It says that the evaluation committee has reviewed the second protest and requests IT&E provide clarification, but it's unsigned and it looks like it's never been sent. Do you know if there's a signed version of that I may have missed?
I'm sorry?
Do you know if there's a signed version of that went out that I may have missed?
I'm unaware of that.
Okay, but you're aware, so it sounds like you're aware though that they did get together and determine that
yes.
IT&E needs to provide clarification.
Yes.
But you don't know if any clarification was provided or if anything beyond this happened. Is that right?
No.
The other question was, I don't think in the procurement record there are any emails about the decision to cancel TrackMe because they appealed to the OPA. Do you know why those emails are not part of the procurement record?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
So there are emails not in the procurement record
okay.
about canceling TrackMe Guam because of their appeal to the OPA. Do you know why those emails are not in the procurement record?
I can't comment on that.
Are you aware that decision was made?
That it was canceled, that the proposal was canceled? Yes.
Okay, do you know why it was made?
No, I'm not a part of that decision. I can't comment on that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Public Auditor.
If I might, Ms. Mkanko, did you have the, when the protest was done and you received a notice from the public auditor to prepare the procurement record, did you prepare all documents, emails, and everything else as of that time and
yes.
submit to the public auditor?
Yes.
Okay, now, any notices about cancellation, those were after the
those
protest.
Those were after.
Right, so they would not have been included in the procurement
yeah.
record. Nothing else, Your Honor.
Would they be included in the procurement record that's ongoing? I mean, the procurement's ongoing, isn't it?
The procurement record was submitted before the cancellation. It wasn't part of the.
Okay, but just on process though, in terms of the emails that go back and forth, someone is keeping track of that now? You know, lifting of stays and things
yes.
like that? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Public. Nothing further.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Could I ask for a 5-minute recess just to the bathroom? Then?
Sure. And then we'll. Who's going to be your next witness?
Is it Jamie Pangavila? Is that next?
Okay.
No, I think it would either be Melinda Moffness or
okay.
Mr. Pangavila. Jamie Pangavila.
Okay. Whichever one, just so that Selena knows who to bring up.
Let's do Ms. Moffness next. Thank you.
Okay. We'll take a short break.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Judge.
We're off the record at 10:23 a.m.
You're excused, ma'am.
We're back on the record at 10:29 a.m.
Okay, so by agreement with GPA, we'll call Ms. Melinda Moffness as our next witness.
Swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Ms. Moffness. My name is Joshua Walsh. I'm one of the lawyers working on this procurement matter with TrackMe Guam. Dallas is over here. Can I ask you to tell us what your role at GPA is?
I am the Assistant General Manager for Operations.
What does that practically mean for issues like this procuring of fleet management?
So transportation is under the operations division, and so they report to me on these on anything related to transportation, including the procurement that we're going through right now.
So there's a binder, a black binder we put in front of you that's got excerpts of stuff from the procurement record, and at the bottom of the pages there are base stamp numbers, and I think it's also tab.
Okay.
Can I ask you to go to tab 8 and look at tab 8 and what starts at base stamp 8001 and onward?
Okay.
And after you had a second to look at that. Have you seen this before?
Yes.
What is this?
It's the standard front part for any procurement that we issue.
Okay, and at 8004, looks like a list of specifications. Have you seen that before?
Yes.
Do you know where those specifications came from?
They were submitted to me by the procurement, by the transportation division.
Okay. So do you know who generated those?
So normally if you look in the, who signs it, it'll give you a...
So on 8007, it's the Jimmy Pangolin and then Pedro Sanchez?
Correct. So Pedro would have been the one who created the specifications, who prepared it.
What about on issues of protest? I think you know, I don't know how you
call it.
Issues of protest.
Okay.
When somebody like Chakri submits a protest, what's your role with protests?
I'm usually not involved.
Okay. And in protest resolution?
Unless it needs my concurrence, if it's something that the committee has recommended, then they'll get my signature and I'll review the recommendation. But other than that, no.
Why does GPA need this? Issue this. I mean, there's an exhibit here in the next page. There's a certification of funds and sort of saying we need this, a planned procurement. Why does GPA have this as a planned procurement?
Well, this was something we adopted just to become more efficient in how we're managing our fleet.
Does that have actual dollars and cents impact to the agency?
Yes.
And does that dollars and cents impact actually have dollars and cents impact to ratepayers?
It's a part of operations, so it's not directly related to ratepayer savings, but it is a part of how we efficiently operate our business.
Can I ask you to look at base stamp 2?
You say tab 2?
Tab 2, yes. And there's a 001 at the bottom there.
Okay.
Now, I don't see your name on this email, so I'm asking an unfair question to begin with. But have you seen this email before at all?
No, I have not.
Okay. Can I ask you to look at base stamp 1-001?
I'm going to tab 1?
Yes, 1, I'm sorry. Yes, tab 1, okay. And at the bottom it goes
1-001.
Okay. Had you seen this protest review bid evaluation?
Does not look familiar.
Do you know about process? Can you help me about process in terms of what the bid evaluation committee does to generate something like this?
So they'll open the bids and review the specifications, and if there's something that needs clarity, they'll ask the questions. They'll ask it of the procurement office to see if a response can be provided.
So they prepare something like this and then send it out?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep, they'll meet and they'll look at whatever. Procurement will be the one to call the meeting, say, okay, here's some information that has come in formally, and then they'll review it and provide feedback again.
Would there typically be a record of that meeting, or is this the record of the meeting?
This is probably the record of the meeting. I don't know of any minutes or anything like that.
Okay.
I better generate it.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
You're welcome.
Mr. Botham?
Yes. So in general, to your knowledge, when the evaluation committee meets, if they have questions of any bidder, and I know sometimes we have multiple bidders, do they request procurement to send out clarification letters?
If they have questions, yes.
Okay, and that's a standard part of the procurement process?
Yes.
And then after those responses come back, then the committee would presumably meet again?
Yes.
And obviously, and then once the committee is done, do they make a recommendation? Does that come up in this case for a transportation matter? Would that come up through you?
That's correct.
Okay. And in this case, was the recommendation to make an award to IT&E?
Yes.
Okay. And then obviously it comes through you, and then that would go up to the general manager.
Correct. For his final approval.
Okay. And then, once the, once all the, well, any, for any of the clarifications, do all, those all go through procurement?
Yes.
Okay, so it's procurement who sends out the clarification letters and all the rest of that. The committee would just prepare a memo indicating what they want procurement to send out.
Yes.
And to your knowledge, those all go through, would all go through the procurement and then be available for any other bidder to review should they request or file a FOIA request on it?
Yes.
I don't have any further questions.
I have one brief one. I understand about the recommendation for award system. If you could look again at 1-001, this is this April 19th, 2021, unsigned evaluation committee paper. You would agree with me that this says they're going to look for IT&E to provide clarification, right?
They are requesting from procurement or to ask IT&E for information.
Now, this could get a little bit messy if I have to stand up, but I'm hoping you can do it.
Okay.
GPA has prepared three binders of procurement record that are scattered around you there.
Okay.
And at tab number 29 in one of them, if you need me to get up there and help, I will, but I think,
okay.
I think you.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Tab number 29, I think it's in binder 2.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, and there's a big stamp number at the top right. It says 1013.
Okay.
Okay. So, can you tell me what this 1013 is?
This is the bid evaluation committee's recommendation for the bid.
What's the date of that?
February 22nd, 2021.
Okay. What's the date of the document on 1001 in my binder?
April 19th, 2021.
So, would you agree with me that the evaluation committee is saying we need to find clarification, and they're saying that in April of 2021? And that the recommendation for award comes February, March, 2 months before?
So it says on the, your April 19th,
mm-hmm.
on when it says based on the second protest submitted by
mm-hmm.
TRACME. So they made a recommendation, they obviously, not obviously, but they probably got a protest, and then they're asking for clarification because they were reconvened based on the protest.
Do you know, and only if you know, do you know if the procurement record that is there has a recommendation or a confirmation or a document saying let's move ahead and award IT&E that's after April 19th?
I'm not aware. I can't answer that.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions. Thanks for handling the binders.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
That's quick.
Good.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay,
you did
much.
You like my freezing?
It was actually nice and cold there. Like your conference room is nice and cozy. The hallway is really cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hang on a minute.
Yes, Mr.
But actually, Your Honor, if I may, I think it would be most useful if we could have somebody who could actually talk about this April 19th document. And I noticed Mr. Jimmy Pangolinan's on the emails that were associated with it. But if you'd rather just give me somebody that's on your list that's on this.
I assume he can address it if there is such a letter that was signed.
Well, let's have him and then
okay,
you can call more people.
So yeah, if you think he's here, let's talk to him. Mr.
Is he the one downstairs?
They're on their way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Hello, Mr. Pangilinan.
Hello.
Good morning. My name is Joshua Walsh. I'm one of the lawyers working with Trackme Guam on this procurement protest. Can I ask what your job is at GPA?
I'm the Police Support Service Manager.
Make sure I write that down. There's a binder, a little one in front of you, that we've taken parts of the procurement record out. I'm going to ask you to go to what's tab number 8. And if you look at the bottom, there's like numbers. It goes like 8001, 002.
Right.
Okay. Had you seen this before, sir? Okay, can I ask you to look at 8-004? Have you seen this before?
Yes.
Okay, what are these?
These are specifications and comply and non-compliant.
Okay. How did the specifications get developed?
Specifications get developed by, I assign my management on the street. He goes out and he does his market research, and we deal with the end user and see what they require.
Who's the end user?
In this case, it would be us.
Okay. And then who was the, what was the title of the person you spoke to?
Management on the street, Pedro F. Sanchez. He was tasked to do the assignment.
Are you familiar with Trackme Guam?
Yes, I am.
How are you familiar with them? Is it fair to say they provide the services that are being procured by this new procurement?
Yes.
And if you can look at 8007. So Pedro F. Sanchez signed this and you signed this as well, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, but Mr. Sanchez is the gentleman who actually put together these specifications, is that right? Can I ask you to look, sir, at 2-001 in that binder? Okay. And have you seen this email before? Actually, so let me, there's a, if you want to take a moment to get your glasses, but I'm not asking any trick questions here. I just, there's, your name is not on this email, sir. There's somebody named Jamie Pangilinan?
Yes.
Who is Jamie Pangilinan?
He's the supply management manager.
What's her role with this procurement?
What's her role?
Yeah.
She's the boss. She does, I don't really know her role. I mean, she's the one that goes through the bid process. She's the one that gets her buyers through it. And at the end, she ensures that everything is within specs, when you said it for us.
Does Mr. Sanchez get involved with her on the specifications?
No, only when it's, he did now because he is part of the review committee.
Okay. Did you see any of the protests or the correspondence from Trackme about ITNEs not being responsive?
I have no access to that, even though I'm the fleet manager, but there's a process, and that's why there's a review committee in
place. And I appreciate you being here. I do not want to waste your time, sir. Can you go to 1-001? And this is a evaluation committee document, memorandum. Have you seen this before at all?
No.
Okay. I have no further questions for Mr. Pangilinan.
they're trying to get answers to you. Maybe you can give me your organizational chart. How, where do you fit with the other kind of leader, Jamie?
Oh, she's my wife.
You will. But
top of the chart.
He said that pretty accurately.
But who's really the, well, who is the, who in the organizational chart is over the other?
I'm not sure. I think we're the same because she's in a different division.
Oh, okay.
We're not related as far as work. So everything we need for our procurement needs, we go through them. That's everybody does. We just go to the for all our
blanket
purchases.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Franklin, so in this case, it was Pedro Sanchez that revised the specs from and may have added some additional ones from the previous bid and then provided them to you. And Ms. Moffness for concurrence, is that accurate?
Well, my concurrence and Ms. Moffness.
Okay, so, and under transportation, who is your immediate boss?
Melinda Moffness,
that's right. And then, did you at any point send a notification to track me that to take their equipment out of the GPA vehicles?
Yes, we did.
Okay, and around when was that?
That was around, I think it was in July. They started in August to start moving the that's when I contacted them before August, and then they came to the agreement that we're going to go in and start moving on August 2nd.
Okay. Have they finished yet?
Pardon?
Have they finished?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. And so what part of the equipment does GPA own that you're asking be removed from the?
We own everything. The only thing we don't own is the SIM card.
Okay. And so it is the hardwired, whatever you want to call it, process for the, I guess they call it the Dallas key.
Yes.
Is that being removed from all of the?
Everything, the whole system being removed.
Okay. And to your knowledge, is the existing contract expired?
It expired in January.
Okay. So actually, they did continue for some considerable time after that until you asked them to remove all the equipment.
Yes.
Okay, and how long is that taking to remove the equipment?
They do five a day.
Five a day?
Yes. They shut down at 1 or 2, so we bring them in at 8:30, and we continue to move until 1 o'clock, and then when they're done with the last one, we pick up all our equipment and bring it back to the shop.
Okay. And to your knowledge, how is the fuel, I guess, consumption monitored with TrackMe?
The fuel consumption?
Yeah, how's that monitored?
Well, it's part of their data. They can track fuel and all that. The only thing they can't track anymore is fuel theft. The reason for that is because of the sloshing of the, they can do their investigation, but as far as them speeding fuel, it's kind of hard because there's certain areas on Guam when you go up a hill, there's sloshing involved and it's causing a false reading, stuff like that. So that's something that we still haven't corrected. But they're pretty accurate as far as fuel consumption is concerned.
Okay. role does the mobile fueling truck play? Is that ever used? Is that, when is that used?
It's used during typhoons, emergency fuels, as far as like if we have our excavator or our bucket trucks down south and they run out of fuel or they can't park to reach places. So we just activate the truck and we head down and pop them up.
Okay, but normally where are the, where are all the rest of the vehicles fueled up?
We line them up over at P&E and we top them up there.
For a generator, but...
They top off at the fuel station.
Okay, and that is, who is that currently?
Mobil.
Okay, and, but that's bid out on a separate thing, so they have a separate...
Fuel card.
Yeah, how do they keep track of that?
When they do the fuel, we grab all the receipts and then county has their own, and then they check the balance and that's how we do it. Well, we pick up the receipts every week.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with any of the software with TrackMe or anybody else?
No.
Okay, that's handled through the fleet card system, which the vehicles are filled up.
Yes.
Okay. Is there the ability to lock and unlock vehicles for all of the GBA vehicles?
No, there's not. The older vehicles can be done. The newer vehicles, they can. Certain vehicles can, certain vehicles can't.
Yeah. When you, were you the one who communicated with TrackMe regarding canceling or asking them to remove their hardware from the GBA vehicles? And when you did that, did you give them a timeline to accomplish that?
We tried. We had to negotiate with them because of their, we told them we need them out by soon as, that's all I told them, we need them out as soon as we can. But when they came up with a schedule, I mean, we just had to follow the schedule.
Okay. So you didn't tell them their contract. Well, actually, as you said, the contract was expired in January 2021. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You didn't tell them that you were moving the stuff because of their protest, did you?
No, you didn't. I never said.
I don't have anything further.
Just on those last points, Mr. Pangilinan, TrackMe Guam was providing services at GPA since the expiration of the prior contract after January, is that correct?
That's correct.
And your notice to them came to cancel or to start pulling out came after the notice of appeal to the OPA. After they appealed to the OPA. Are you aware of that?
I'm not sure.
So your testimony is that you never informed TrackMe that they were being canceled because of the OPA appeal?
Oh, I'm sure. I never said that.
You never said that? There'd be no correspondence about that either?
No. I know that I spoke to Mr. Gethers, I spoke to him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're going to go ahead and have to cancel until everything is squared away.
What does squared away mean?
Until everything is... Well, I got no notice from the top. Jim, go ahead and cancel the...
Who told you to cancel?
Melinda Muffins.
She said to cancel. Did she say that?
Stop services soon.
This was after the state of procurement was issued?
Well, it must have been because services stopped in January.
Is anybody providing tracking services to GPA now on the vehicles that are being... So GPA is getting no tracking services, is that right?
That's right.
Do you know if GPA has canceled this procurement?
I don't know.
Does GPA need tracking services?
My personal opinion? I mean, who doesn't?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Pangilinan, for your answers. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Nothing further.
Thank you. Who would the next witness be? It's 11.
Perhaps we,
We'll break and who would your next witness be?
Is it possible to get Mr. Sanchez? That would have been one on the bar list.
We can, by the time he gets down here, it'll be almost 12.
Judge, I don't think he'd be down here before lunch, right?
Yeah, so why don't we just break until 1?
Thank you, Judge.
And then that'll give him time to have an early lunch, get down here. We can all have an early lunch and be ready by 1 o'clock to have Mr. Sanchez here. And then after Mr. Sanchez, who?
That would be it for us. I anticipate Mr. Sanchez will be able to provide answers on the documents we were exploring earlier.
Okay. So please, if you can get Mr. Sanchez here at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
We'll start back up at 1, and we'll break now until 1.
Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We're off the record at 10:57 a.m. We're back on the record at 1:01 p.m.
And your next witness?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just before the next witness, if I could at this moment, I talked to Mr. Grantham, Mr. Botha, about one more exhibit that we're stipulating to enter without a witness. It's just this bit of correspondence from the agency. I can either file this over the counter later or just read it in now. It's just a email correspondence from July 2nd, 2021. From the last witness, who was Mr. Pangolin, about the cancellation. So Mr. Both is stipulated to that, so I'll just put this over the counter if that's okay with you, Mr. Public Auditor. Okay, and then, and then just on exhibits, before we both forget, I think Mr. Botha and I are okay with just agreeing to having the entire procurement record be admitted into this case. And our evidence binder, just as a little housekeeping matter, I've got no objections to the whole thing coming in, and I don't think Mr. Botha has any objections to our little excerpts coming in. And if that's okay with Your Honor, then I'll proceed to my witness, unless you have any questions about that. Okay, thank you. So I think the next witness for us is Mr. Pedro Sanchez, GPA's buyer three? Or?
No, management
analyst three, sorry. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez, for coming down here. I know you know who I am, but I'm, for the record, I'm going to say I'm Joshua Walsh. I represent Track Meet in these proceedings. I have just a few questions. So there's a binder that we prepared that's in front of you. I think it's open, and it's got tabs and bait stamp numbers on the bottom right. And I'm going to ask you to look at tab 6, and the bait stamp number is to start with 001, so 6-001. So this is a bid protest from Chakri. I'm wondering, have you seen this before?
Yes.
Okay, what was the situation where you saw it? How did you guys come across this?
This came the most recently. I got it from when I got the notice that I'd be a witness.
Oh, okay. So in terms of like actually dealing with this during the protest review of it, you didn't have anything to do with dealing with this, is that right?
I don't remember.
Okay. Maybe I should back up a step. What's your job title over at GPA?
I'm a management analyst three.
And what do you do?
So I, when it comes to the procurement side, I write the specifications for anything to do with the fleet, so transportation vehicles or whatnot or portage, stuff like that.
So I mean that would be like I suppose if GPA needed a bucket truck, you'd help write specs for that?
Yes,
right?
I agree.
Hopefully we don't need more bucket trucks, but can I ask you then to look at tab 8? Zero, zero, 1 and onward. And specifically, if you could look at 8-004. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is this?
These are the specifications drawn up for the TrackMe or the software.
And if I understood from testimony earlier, you were tasked with preparing these specifications?
Yes, sir.
How did you do that?
I used previous history. So we've had contracts with TrackMe Guam, and we use what they provided for us, you know, that we actually found useful for our system.
Okay, so you took your existing vendor, TrackMe, took what you wanted from that and generated specifications from that, is that fair to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So back to that tab 6. You can open that back up to 6-001. So after you write the specifications, what is your role in the procurement moving on from there?
In this case, I was part of the committee.
Okay.
That oversaw the processing.
As part of the committee, did you see the protest letter?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's a second protest letter,
wait,
too.
Wait, sir, I don't know if it's the letter or the email, but I'm aware of the outline.
Okay.
I remember something, it was like an email or something.
And what about the analysis of the grounds for the protest? Is that something you handled?
The analysis of the grounds?
Seeing whether or not the protest grounds were...
As part of the committee, yes, I was responsible for, one of the people responsible for determining whether or not it was viable, or if they could meet the statute.
So do you remember this first protest, and if you need to take a moment to refresh your memory about this, the grounds for the first protest, go ahead and read the letter, but I'm hoping we can talk about that for a few minutes.
I don't remember the letter, but I do remember the specific one, C.1-17,
mm-hmm.
being an issue.
Okay. And if you could go to tab 5-004. And this looks like some communication from a DCS company to IT&E, and it's addressing the C-117. Have you seen this thing from IT&E before, or DCS? As much as I can answer your question, I'm not supposed to respond to your questions. But,
yeah,
but take a look. If you look back a few pages, I think you can piece it together about how IT&E sent this. Actually, why don't I just direct you to that?
Is this part of the brochure that they sent it?
So why don't you look at 5-002. Actually, 5-001, the beginning of it.
Okay.
So you are not on this email. You're on the evaluation committee, but you'd agree with me you're not on this email.
I don't see my name here.
Okay. I'm going to tell you this is an email from IT&E to GPA, the folks listed there, explaining how DCS answers the C-117 question. My question to you is, how do we go from the protest letter at GPA to IT&E responding with this DCS? If you don't know the answer to that, that's fine too.
Will you request a clarification?
The evaluation committee?
Yes.
So you asked IT&E for clarification?
Yes.
Okay. But based on your answers earlier, it seems like you have not actually seen this DCS explanation before today.
No, my memory is not a
error, gotcha.
But
yeah.
I do remember, you know, certain things. So one is that we got the complaint, right? And then we were asking for clarification, and then what they sent in after that, we reviewed it.
And so you may have reviewed this?
Yeah, I just don't remember if it was
okay.
DCS or because I can't remember the name of the...
Okay. Okay. Can I ask you to look at tab 4-001? So I understand you got a protest, and then you ask for clarification, and then maybe this DCS thing comes back from IT&E. And then if you look at 4-001, this is, I think TrackMe called it a protest supplement or a second protest. Have you seen this before?
Yes.
What would you describe this as?
This is what we were looking at to kind of go down the checklist, is to kind of verify whether or not ITNE met the specs based on the complaints.
Okay, but you did that with the other protest as well, the one on 6-002?
I think they were the same, because they looked super similar to me, so it was one or the other. I went with one or the other. I think this is the one that I remember seeing, because it had all of it, and then from all of it, we took the questions from there to verify and get clarification whether or not they could do what they said they could.
Okay. Did you get an answer back to that?
They sent an email, and they had, I'm thinking it's this DCS thing. Because they did send an email, and they basically listed how they would go about meeting the specifications that we required regarding the C.1-17.
But the other grounds here listed in this exhibit 4-002, you're not sure about?
What's the other ground? What was the other one? I can get a refresh.
So take a look at 4-002.
Okay.
With 001 and 002.
There was something else that we... Can you be more specific? Because there's...
Are you familiar with the grounds of Chakni's protest?
From my understanding, it had to do with the 1 hour, right?
Right.
You want to meet the hour.
So and if you'd like to, let's go through it.
But I don't see the 1 hour on this one.
So 4-002, failure to comply with requirement B6.
B6, okay.
The one.
Oh, there, I see that.
Right.
Okay, that one.
And you, if I'm hearing you correctly, you got together to deal with that?
Yes, we decided as the committee that it would be fine because based on the specification, it was an estimated time. And then the next specification said that if any devices or if it was going to go over the estimated time, that the fleet support service manager had the authority to extend if as long as it's prior to work.
So there was a meeting where that was discussed?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember when that meeting was?
No.
Do you remember who was at that meeting?
Yes.
Who was at that meeting?
The committee was Jason Homme, myself, and Victor Torres.
What about the C1-13, the Microsoft Word, CSV, does it export?
I don't remember.
Okay. What about the C2, the automatic disabling, the unlocking, the distance stuff? Do you remember that?
I remember that being an issue, but I don't remember the result or how we came about the result.
I'm going to ask you to look at 1-001. It says Bid Evaluation Committee, from Bid Evaluation Committee, April 19th, 2021. Have you seen this before?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know who put it together?
Me.
Okay. Can you tell me what this is saying? What is it asking for? I mean, would you agree with me this is
us just requesting the clarification.
Okay. Do you remember if clarifications came back?
That was the... I remember we got clarification. That's where we went off. That's when we had the meeting to review the clarifications.
So there are clarifications to this April 19th, 2021 letter that came to GPA?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea where in the procurement record they are?
No.
Do you have any idea if this has been signed by you three?
Yes.
And is there a signed version of that in the procurement record to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Your Honor, I have no further questions, but I would like to reserve the ability to call back Mr. Sanchez because I seem to be missing something for the procurement record I'd like to address with Your Honor and Mr. Botha after this. We excuse Mr. Sanchez, he can get back to work. Is that okay?
But
I mean, after your examinations, of course.
Yes. Okay. Mr. Sanchez, how long have you worked for GPA?
Since 2011 or 2012.
Okay, and how long have you worked in the transportation side of?
Since the beginning.
And in doing the specs here, you're saying that basically you took some of the previous specs, added in some beneficial things that you had seen, and then put them out after review by transportation.
Yes, sir.
And the rest of them. Were there any additional things that you added to the specifications that you recall?
No.
So it's pretty similar to the last one?
We removed certain things, I think. Yeah.
How many evaluation committees have you sat on?
I don't remember, but I sat on a couple, maybe a handful. Yeah, I can't remember the exact number, but I've done it before.
Okay. And in sitting on the evaluation committee, who directs you as to clarifications, all the rest of that? Do you do that on your own?
No, sir.
Okay. And who directs you to that?
Well, I check with the buyer, and then she advises us, and then we send emails up the chain to verify whether we can move forward.
Okay. And then the letter that Mr. Walsh asked you about at 1-001, you indicated that you had prepared that, but you would not have sent that out.
No, sir. I send it up the chain.
And then, to your knowledge, procurement would be the one that sends out.
Yes, sir.
Those or any other additional clarification letters.
Yes, sir.
That you require. So, if you had received the protest letter, that Mr. Walsh asked you about in April 4-001, you would have gotten that from procurement, is that fair?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then procurement would have scheduled a meeting for you, Mr. Homme, and Mr. Torres to review that.
Yes,
and ask for clarification.
Yes.
And then once the clarification is received from procurement, then the committee would meet again to determine whether that answered your questions or whether you had further questions.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So at the end of the day, is it fair to say that the committee was satisfied that the questions had been responded to?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and did you, in fact, send a letter to through procurement indicating that, in your opinion of the committee, that both bidders were qualified for the bid?
Yes, sir.
And then after that, as you understood it, the protest happened, and
yeah, I think that's when, I don't remember the time frame, but I remember after that, that's when the protest happened.
I don't have any further questions, Your Honor.
Just a brief one to make sure I understand the order here. That 1001, on these issues of C-117, B-6, C-113, and C-2, you're telling us that you received clarification in response to this from the bidder?
From procurement.
From procurement.
Yes.
And the clarification answered these questions for years to your satisfaction?
Yes, sir.
And that you, did you eventually sign a recommendation for award after this? Like, did you, once you received the clarification?
I think the award happened prior, right? Doesn't it work like then you guys protested and we come in?
Can you look at just give me one moment. I beg your indulgence for one moment, Your Honor.
Take your time.
I'm going to ask you to, so these procurements get document intense. There are several other binders there. There's one of these binders, which is the procurement record. It's got a tab number 29 in it. I think it might be the one to your right there. Yeah, binder 2, maybe?
Okay, so it's BR2?
Yeah, and tab 29. Tab 29, and there's a GPA's got bait stamp numbers on the record at the top right, so it says 1013 of 1461.
Okay.
Have you seen this document before?
Yes, sir.
What is this document?
This is us saying that we determined that the both met specification.
Is this what you're describing as the sort of signing off and saying that make the award to these to ITME?
I don't, we only recommend, but yeah, this is...
Yeah, the, I mean, I'm sorry,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
So, and what's the date of this recommendation?
February 22nd.
Okay. And if you look back at our binder, the one with the 1-001. Sorry, I should have told you.
This one.
Yeah, 1-001, bottom right. This unsigned one. Do you know if there's one of these recommendations that comes after this April 19th date?
I don't think so, sir.
Okay. So do you think, I'm just trying to figure out, if you know, did you get clarification, the clarification asked for in this April 19th, 2021 letter, did you ever get that from?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions. Other than my one reservation, depending on what I think is a supplement to the procurement record that's required. But thank you, Mr. Sanchez.
Did you wish to clarify anything?
I don't have any further questions.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So, Your Honor, I really have no one else to call in my case in chief here, but this last witness seems to indicate that there's a signed version of this April 19th memorandum that actually went out, and that there's a series of clarifications from ITB or somebody that came back in. Our review of the procurement record shows none of that correspondence, none of that outbound to the ITME, and none of the inbound back to GPA. And at this moment, I think we're prejudiced a bit, we are as a tenant from moving forward on that, unless either GPA can tell us that that doesn't exist, or there's a supplement to the procurement record we can get so we can actually review that, those items coming in.
Your Honor, I don't think that exists. I think the witness clarified that when Mr. Walsh pointed out to him, tab 29, page 1013, bid evaluation committee indicated that he had signed that. I think this one looked, that other letter looks like it had gone out, but obviously there's an unsigned version, so it, from our perspective, it never went out. There is nothing else to supplement. I mean, I think he was interpreting the back and forth clarification for stuff that they'd done previously, and that is part of the record, but I don't see anything. All I see is the unsigned letter that would have been a clarification letter, but I don't have anything else that's part of the criminal record after.
And what was the date of all of the documents from DCS or the
So those,
these on March?
So there are DCS documents that come back, Your Honor, but we're talking about on the second protest, another series of documents that the witness seems to think he reviewed, but I've never seen.
So there does appear to be at 5-002, the responses were from Ms. Camacho at ITNE, dated March 22nd, 2021. So those appear to be the only ones that answered that, and that there's nothing that we have after that date.
But that's before April.
That is clearly well before April.
It is, Your Honor, and it addresses the March 27th DCS explanation, but the witness seems to believe there's explanations about the second protest, the other provisions. The DCS response of March 27th only addresses the C-117 issue, and the witness, under both direct and cross and me asking again to make sure he was sure, said that he had seen the other issues on 1001 addressed. So either they were addressed with correspondence that we don't have, or the witness just is mistaken and they were never addressed at all. But it's not just, it cuts, I think, in the same direction in either regard. Either it's not in the procurement record and should be there, or the witness reviewed something that he just couldn't have reviewed because it doesn't exist. But I need somebody to tell me it doesn't exist, or they'll look and say it does exist.
I mean, Your Honor, there's nothing after that email that goes back and forth on Mr. Walsh's thing. There's nothing that we have that was clearly prior to the date of that undated letter, and there does not appear to be any responses to that. I would note that even the witness had to look it over and read it to actually make certain, because obviously he hadn't seen it in a while or could be certain as to which one it was. So there's nothing in our records that indicate there's anything additional other than what we submitted.
If Mr. Bothas, no reason to doubt anything that Graham says. If Graham says that there's nothing further to add to this record, then I'm satisfied with that, and we'll move forward based on the testimony we heard and the record we have. And with that, I think we're done with our case in chief, Your Honor. Thank you.
Do you want to proceed now, or do you need time? Or did you have anyone further?
No, we don't have anything. We don't have anyone further, Your Honor.
So we're going to just close now with closing argument?
I think that would be appropriate, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I appeared before you before, Judge, and I think you once said that proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law with argument and that was sufficient for you. If you want to hear a short closing, I'm happy to give one, but I'm also happy, Your Honor, to just submit it on the papers. I think you did that previously with GPA, give you a proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law on a calendar you suggest to us.
Okay. How much time do you need?
Your Honor, I've asked for at least 30 days. I do know that's a little bit of my own doing because of other matters I have before the public auditor, but I have the finishing of homicide trial and have some other trial matters, so at least 30 days.
Okay. I mean, do you have any objection to the 38?
Your Honor, normally it's been a far shorter period of time, but certainly I leave that up to your considered judgment, whatever you think is reasonable.
All right. I hope that the findings will explain everything to me. Because I'm lost. So October the 11th?
The 11th, Your Honor.
Is that a holiday?
No.
Not for us. Okay. October 11th.
It's hardly a holiday.
And I don't think you're going to produce any transcripts, but if we're okay just citing to the record audio when it's uploaded, we'll proceed that way. Thank you, Judge.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
We're off the record at 1:30 p.m.